Our next guest, our weekly visit with Elliot Friedman, NHL Insider, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Walker?
Doing okay.
How are you doing, Rintoul?
I'm doing very well, and I'm not sure that you believe Walker's answer, but I know you believe mine.
Yes, that's true.
I'm doing better. We were in Vegas this weekend, so I'm doing.
Yes, I heard.
I'm doing better today. Doing better today than we were the last 48 hours. We'll say that.
Did you guys win or lose?
Oh, don't
lost
I don't
a
even,
little. Yeah. Don't talk to Walker about it, though. It is a bad loss.
What did you do, Walker? Tell me.
I bet too much money on a hand and then doubled it because I had the right cards, and then the dealer hit a 6 on a 15, and it was really bad. It was a bad scene.
How much are we talking?
He was plus 800, and he went to minus 200 on that one hand.
Wow!
Yeah, no, it wasn't any good.
That's a bad beat.
It was a bad beat, and it was maybe my mistake.
What does McEwen pay you guys out there that you're playing $1,000 hands?
What, this one or the advance I got while we were down there? I don't know. Hey,
I think I'm gonna apply for a Vancouver radio job if you're betting that much.
We were at the game, of course, and Vegas beat the Canucks 6-3, and it was awesome. I mean, what an atmosphere, and the team. You know, when you see them live, like, they have three lines, Elliot, that just, they play all the same. They keep coming at you. The crowd is into it. They love Marc-Andre Fleury. And wouldn't you know it, Vegas was one of those teams that made a splash on Monday and then tried to make another one.
Yeah, they sure did. They, you know, they were in on Carlson. They made a pitch at the last minute. I think it was potentially two first-round picks. I think Ottawa would have had the choice of one of their top prospects, and maybe another conditional pick, depending on whether or not Vegas signed him. I think that was kind of the backbone of the offer, and Ottawa decided not to. And, you know, what I think is going on here is that, first of all, I think the Senators had some teams telling them, we can't do it now, but we can be in it at the draft, and we'd be very interested. So I think that was something that came up. And the other thing, too, I think is a factor here is, until you see where certain teams end up in the draft lottery, you probably don't have an idea of how you can maximize your trade. Because I think there's going to be some teams that are going to miss the playoffs this year who might want a quick turnaround next year and could be in on Erik Karlsson. And, you know, so I think where you end up could affect your ability to make a package for them. I think also that affects Ottawa because they have to decide whether or not they're keeping their first-round pick this year, because if they don't, they have to give next year's to Colorado. And if, you know, and in that situation, if there's a chance they're going to be worse next year than this year, you know, I'm not sure you want that. So, you know, I think Tampa tried to. I think Tampa realized they weren't going to be able to do it. And I think, you know, and I think Washington was trying, though I don't think they could do it. You know, they had basically, guys, in the morning around noon, I was told it wasn't going to happen. And then at about 2 o'clock, I got a lookout. And I think Vegas was obviously the last team at the end. And the key is that they were going to take Bobby Ryan. That was going to be part of it, too. And I think they thought about it, and they just said, nope, we'll see where we are in the spring.
How close was Max Pacioretty to relocating?
I don't think it was ever close, Scott. I think, like, I heard the ask of the Kings was really high. It was, I think it was Gabe Vilardi, who was their number one pick last year. I think it might have been someone like Tyler Toffoli and another pick. And I just think the Kings were like, we're not doing that. Mm.
Elliot Friedman joins us, Hockey Night in Canada, and 31 Thoughts. Pretty quiet day for the Canucks. People were getting upset because there was no draft
Man,
picks that
I,
came
I gotta
back.
Tell you, yeah. I watched that press conference yesterday, and I was like, wow, like that is... Like I was having a long talk with someone yesterday, and we were looking at that press conference, and it was, you know, I think a great question to be asked is, like, how's the best way I can put this? I wonder, like, there's certain markets where I think, like, P.K. Subban did an interview with Nick Kyprios where he talked about the effect that the median fans have on the way the Canadians do business. And we've kind of talked about this before. I got to think that if you're, that the way it's going there in Vancouver, it just seems so edgy and so nasty every day that it just affects the way things get done there. And I would really love, I think one of the greatest roundtables I'd love to do is just get, like Pat Quinn used to always tell us in Toronto, you guys are bad and Vancouver's worse. I really wonder if they're the people who work for the Canucks, and believe me, there's a lot of people who've lived and played there and worked there who love the organization, if they think that it's one of the reasons they've never won. Because, like, I read the coverage every day. As you know, I always make fun of Canucks Twitter. I watch all of your press conferences and stuff. And I got to tell you, it is great. Like, there, at the beginning of the season, everybody looks refreshed. At the end of the season, everybody looks beaten down. And I don't know. I watched that press conference yesterday, and Benning just looked like he couldn't wait to get out of there. And I listened to Lyndon on radio yesterday, and he was just like, you could tell he was like a boxer in the corner getting pounded. And I don't know. I just wonder about the toll it all takes. I really do. You know, it's tough to get players sometimes out there, free agents, because, you know, the travel is tough and everything like that. I don't know, guys. I watched that press conference yesterday. I was talking about it with some people. In a Canadian market, when it's good, it's great. You're a hero. You're a legend. But when it's bad, I mean, some markets are worse than others, and it is bad there right now. Like, I do wonder about the toll it takes on people, and if people just sit there and say, I want no part of this.
Well, it's an interesting point, Elliot, and there have been some very strong personalities as general managers, in particular of this hockey team, that wouldn't listen, wouldn't care. Pat Quinn would be one of them. Brian Burke would have been another.
You know what? That's not true. Quinn cared.
Sure, he cared.
I dealt with him a lot. He gave the impression that he didn't care, but he cared.
No, my point is they weren't going to be affected in their decision-making by what was being said in the media or by the fan base. They were still going to make their decisions. Of course, everybody would rather be approved than not approved. There's very few people who simply want to be the villain all of the time or have criticism all of the time. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But you can't listen to that stuff. You still got to make your own decisions.
You know what, Scott? It's not you that listens, okay? Like, I think it's about it affects the people around you. But also, like, Scott, like, if you're hearing every day how terrible you are, It eats you. Like I have to tell you, like, I have a pretty thick skin. I laugh at most of it. I get occasional racial slurs on Twitter. I get a lot of criticism on Twitter. Every show I go on, I get told how terrible I am. I laugh at it. You know, I do. I it's very rare that something bothers me a lot anymore. But if you were going through it day in, day out, every day you are getting told how dumb you are, how stupid you are. It tears into your family. It really does. And eventually, and when your family gets upset, like, it starts to break you down. And listening to Benning and Lyndon yesterday, I know Benning just got an extension and all that. Man, those guys are in that phase right now where they're like, like, they feel they're getting torn apart by wild dogs, and it's a really difficult place to be. I know, whether you agree with what they're doing or whether you disagree with what they're doing, I'll tell you this. I watched Jason Bottrell yesterday in Buffalo. He's a guy who you could see he was going up there. He knew after the Kane deal that he was going to get it, and he was tough. He fought back a bit. But I just watch, if you disagree with the moves they're making, that's fine. That's your right as a fan. I'm just saying that I see what's going on there right now, and I think that it's really tough. It's really tough there right now. And sometimes I think it's funny because we all have to go through it, and I get some of that stuff too. But I don't know. I just see your market right now, and I just think it's a really brutal place to be. Those guys feel, I can see it. Those guys feel that they're just under siege, and man, it is really tough to feel under siege.
Well, to your point, yesterday felt like a no-win scenario, right? I don't know why people built up this deadline day like it was going to be this marquee moment of a Canucks rebuild, but their players have struggled. They didn't have many UFAs, right? Thomas Vanek was the only guy, and we've talked about the market for Thomas. I never believed there was ever going to be a market for Thomas Vanek because everybody knows what he is. So they did what they could, which wasn't much. I mean, no one's taken on an injured Tanev right now. Edler is a no trade. Ben Hutton makes 2.8 last year and isn't playing in the lineup. There was only so much they could do. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you're right. Like, people are loaded for bear. They were a little helpless.
Yeah, and you know, like, you can argue it's their own mistakes, and that's fine. I don't really have any problem with that. The one thing about Vanek is it's pretty interesting. Like, Edmonton, Peter Chiarelli went on radio today, and he said that they got one offer from Maroon, and it was, you know, with 5 minutes to go for the deadline, they got a third rounder for him and a prospect. You know, Vanek is a guy, and I have no interest in kicking dirt on Thomas Vanek. Here's the fact. You know, he's a guy who's been a rental before, and he hasn't made a difference. So, you know, it was a situation where, you know, they figured they probably weren't going to get a lot, so they took a chance on a prospect who they used to really like and said, let's see if we can make this work here. Now, I know they got heat for having to take Jokinen, but, I mean, whatever. They could have gotten a pick, sure, maybe, but I think they just figured that was the best deal they were going to get. I think they were squeezed pretty tight. You know, you look at the guys who got returns. You know, Buffalo got really squeezed on Evander Kane. I heard that they had an offer of a first rounder like 3 or 4 days before the deadline, and it got pulled. Mm. And then you're dealing with one of the craftiest guys out there in Doug Wilson, and you're in trouble. I mean, who got first rounders? Paul Stastny did.
Tatar.
McDonough could potentially have two, but both he and Miller have team control and term. Ryan Hartman did, but he's under team control for a few years. You know, the rentals, you know, it wasn't an easy market for them. And, I don't know. I mean, look, again, I'm not saying that anybody's right or wrong about how they feel about how the Canucks front office is doing. I just see a situation right now where those guys feel like they're totally under siege, and I think it's a tough place to be. And I think the players see it. I think the coach sees it. And, you know, word gets around. Like, you know, people say, you know, holy cow, it's really tough here. And, you know, the Sedins, when the day comes that they eventually retire, I mean, those are guys who draw people to your team. You know, they're champions of Vancouver. They wrote that piece here that how much they love it, and they love playing for Canucks, and their numbers are going to get retired, and they're going to go to the Hall of Fame, and they deserve it all. But when those guys are gone, who's going to sell your market? Who's going to be the guys that say, you know what, despite everything you've heard, you're going to want to play here? And I'm sure Horvat will do that to some degree, and he'll be a younger guy, and it'll help. But, you know, those two guys carry a lot of respect. And I think when those voices are gone, you know, who are people going to say, believe as much that it's a good place to come to?
That's an interesting...
Montreal went through that. They had French players who didn't want to go there. And they would all tell each other, you don't want to come here. And they, you know, they lost, I think, Daniel Briere for that reason, for example, in a pretty big part of his career. It's tough. Like, as a hockey fan from Canada, I want to see Vancouver do well. It's better for Hockey Night in Canada. It's I want to see them do well. I don't know. I joke about it a lot, guys, but I don't. I was talking about it with a few people yesterday, and I just think it's a concern right now. It's a rough place to be in terms of the anger towards the team right now, and I think it affects the organization and out, and people notice. That's all.
It's an interesting segue into my next topic of conversation, the New York Islanders, because John Tavares is a selling point on Long Island when they eventually get back there for good. Why didn't the Islanders do anything?
That's a great question. It is a great question. You know, I think one of the things that happened was last year at the draft, Scott, was they made that deal for Hamonic, and they got that first-round pick. And Gar Snow stood up there, and he said, we are going to use this to – normally I keep picks, but we're going to use these to acquire other assets eventually. And then what happened? You know, Calgary's out of the playoffs right now. All of a sudden, that's a lottery pick. And I think Garth looked at that, and I think he said, suddenly this is, you know, especially if Tavares doesn't stay, we're going to need this pick. And so he wasn't interested in doing it unless it was for a rental. You know, we've all talked about goaltending there. I think they feel they needed defense more. You know, Boychuk's been hurt. He was back. DeHaan, who's an underrated player, is out for the year. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I checked around. What are the Islanders doing? And I didn't hear much of anything. Now, I could have totally missed it. I don't hear everything that's going on out there. But I don't know. I really think that it just doesn't sound there was a ton of activity out there that I heard of. So I don't know. I think we were all expecting something. We just didn't get anything.
He is Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, and 31 Thoughts and 31 Thoughts, the podcast brought to you by the all-new 2018 GMC Terrain. Before we let you go, was there another team out there that surprised you with maybe not a lack of trying, but a lack of activity?
You know, I thought the Stastny deal surprised me. I thought that was a good deal for Winnipeg, but it did surprise me. I didn't see that one coming. I was a bit surprised Ottawa maybe didn't do a bit more. But, you know, they decided to hold on a bit and see where they kind of are. I think the team that surprised me a bit was Dallas. You know, I thought they might try to add something because I think they're pretty good. And maybe they just looked at it and said, we like what we have and that's about it. But I was surprised that maybe Dallas didn't add. Very quiet.
Elliot, great stuff as always. We'll see if we can get you out here sitting at a table with Walker at some point.
Thanks, Fridge.
Actually, I'm coming in next week, so we'll see.
Hey, we'll see if we
can. I'm just going to go check my Twitter mentions right now and see where they are.
I was talking about a blackjack table, but you are welcome anytime
I'm not doing that for a while.
Oh man, I wish I could have seen that. I got to tell you, did you at least get up and leave the table?
Well, yeah, we were going to do something else, so that was like I was like, you know what, go big or go home. Last hand, let's do it.
No, and, but after that hand, did you get up and leave the table?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because the worst thing you can do is make it worse by going for more. At
yeah,
any rate,
that's true.
So I'm glad to hear that you don't have a problem, Walker.
I did not see it with my own two eyes, but eyewitness verified that the pit boss literally went, oh, that's bad, when he lost.
Yeah, that may or may not have happened. All right. See you, Friedge. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Take care, guys. See you later.
It's Elliot Friedman. Sportsnet 650.